Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. What's up, Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for being here. Final hour on this Tuesday. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Brian Weber in the next couple days. I'll be back in Friday, a couple days next week. Jim off this week and next week. And as always, an absolute thrill. Love filling in for Jim. Also love hearing from you. Have a few of you on the line. Get to calls here in a few minutes at 1-800-636-8686. Rome@haveatake.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter, jimrome.com. You can also hit me up on the old Twitter machine, Sports Writer. Sports is my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. When I hosted a show here on CBS Sports Radio, the year the Chiefs started 5-0, when Alex Smith was still the quarterback, Trez Paylor, who covered that team for the Chiefs and now is a national NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, said, in the midst of the Chiefs being 5-0, that the future was Patrick Mahomes, his rookie year. Trez called it. He nailed it. He owned it. He's the reason I've dominated all my fantasy leagues, because I drafted Mahomes super early because of TP. This guy knows the game, knows the Chiefs, and we're going to benefit from his insight on this Mahomes contract in about 15 or 20 minutes. If there's time at the end of the show, may not be. We have a lot of you on the line. I want to get to those calls. But if there's time, I want to get into what I think is a really interesting scenario for Los Angeles as the windows close to the Lakers and the Dodgers in this bizarre era for Kershaw and LeBron at the exact same time. But I do want to start the hour here. And again, if you want to call us, 1-800-636-8686. Patrick Mahomes is now the richest athlete in the world in terms of a contract. $450 to $530 million, depending on some of the bonus and some of the structures of a 10-year extension, already under contract for two more years. 12-year deal for the young, remarkably talented gunslinger in Kansas City. And for those of you, and there's some of you, who have suggested or asked, and I get it, whether we're getting ahead of ourselves, sometimes you just know. You knew with Tiger from Jump Street. And you knew with Mahomes from the beginning, and part of the reason it's real, beyond, you know, the Super Bowl, the comebacks, the MVP, the 50 passing touchdowns the first year he was a starter in the National Football League. And again, Trez will hit on this in 20 minutes. Internally, and Andy Reid knows a thing or two or 2,000 about quarterbacks and offenses. Internally, they knew. They knew they had a unicorn. And we say once in a generation a lot, but that's a very small group of people. He's a once in a generation talent. And talent is different than success and accomplishment. He might be the most talented quarterback we've seen. Aaron Rodgers, the last time a guy this purely talented. Dan Marino. I mean, Manning had a lot of talent, but not that Mahomes doesn't work hard. But, you know, Manning spent 70 hours a week looking at. Mahomes is special on a different level on the field. But the thing for the NFL that I think bodes really well, because let's be honest. National Football League under Roger Goodell has not had the smoothest news cycles over the last few years. First, there was the anthem protests. And Roger Goodell, as it turns out, siding on the wrong side of history, whatever your politics, and I would argue the wrong side of what's right and wrong, I believe very strongly, you can disagree, it's fine, it's America, it's great, that black men who see other black men be gunned down when they're unarmed have a right to protest in a peaceful way by, you know, kneeling during the anthem. But whatever the case, things have shifted and things have changed. The NFL has a concussion problem that may or may not rear itself again in the public imagination, but it probably will. Soccer's on the rise. The NBA's on the rise. If MLB wasn't run by Robert Manfred, maybe they'd be able to chip away a little bit. It's really hard to stay relevant forever. 100 years ago, horse racing and boxing were the biggest sports on earth. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're just not. Patrick Mahomes is a gift. And by the way, not only can he be the biggest, most important American athlete on earth, that'll be a first for the NFL. It just will be. Think about the athletes who have dominated the public imagination as the Q rating guy. And it's not the same thing as success. Conor McGregor might have had a moment, right? But it's been guys like Jordan, guys like Tiger, guys like LeBron. I would argue Steph Curry for a minute. It's never been NFL players. And there's a lot of reasons for that. NFL culture is don't say much. These guys do wear helmets, and they're not as recognizable. They're just not. And you don't go out and buy. Sneaker culture is not my thing, but it's a big thing. People don't go out and buy the Patrick Mahomes shoe. They do go out and buy the LeBron shoe. Patrick Mahomes also, and I talked about this at the start of the show, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, how Mahomes changed the physics of football games. Down 24 on a playoff game in the second quarter, not only did they come back and win, we all knew it was going to happen. A 24-point deficit felt like a 3-point deficit or a 10-point deficit for a normal superstar MVP. That's a fact. He just literally changed the physics of how teams pay quarterbacks and how much they make. But think about this. Think about Roger Goodell. And again, I know it's hard because whatever side you're on, you're angry at the other side. Just try to get past the politics for a second, just as a thought experiment. And how unmovable Roger Goodell has been on everything that he's been unmovable on. Colin Kaepernick, concussions, Spygate, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is. In the NBA, we're used to LeBron James being able to exert influence on a guy like Adam Silver. Or Jordan exert influence over David Stern. That hasn't happened in the National Football League. The Patriots are the most remarkable dynasty, dominate, whatever you want to call them, certainly in the modern times of the NFL, and they're up there, if not surpassing, just in pure success, the old Lakers teams, the Spurs, which have been spread out over the same period of time. And they incurred Goodell's wrath. Goodell lost it eventually because he had to hand that trophy to the guys that he tried to punish, but Goodell was unmovable. Do you know why Roger Goodell, again, try to get past the politics if you can. I think it's the right thing, but, you know, whatever. Do you know why Roger Goodell and the NFL is suddenly embracing and understanding and seeing Black Lives Matter for what it is, which is a movement that's meant to point out the fact this shouldn't be a question, but that Black Lives do matter and we need to say that? Do you know why Roger Goodell and the National Football League is going to change its stance on kneeling? Do you know why the Washington Redskins are going to be called something else in a year? Yes, there's a sort of a zeitgeist going around. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't put his face and name and voice in that video about Black Lives Mattering, none of this happens. In the same way that if LeBron James doesn't go and play in the bubble in Orlando, there is no bubble in Orlando. That's the power of Mahomes. He is going to transcend the sport in such a legitimate way. He is so important to the NFL. He is so clearly, if he can remain healthy, the cornerstone of what the NFL is going to build going forward. As a player, absolutely, of course. As a superstar, beyond a doubt. As a magnetic personality, and he is, he's such a likable dude. As a very, very wealthy young man, all of that. But beyond that, as a star that transcends his sport in the way few NFL players have, on the way of a Jordan or a LeBron or a Tiger, if you want to go to soccer, a Messi or a Ronaldo, it's so real. The National Football League has flipped in its leadership on how they view these very divisive social issues. If you're a Republican, if you believe in voting, you know, on a red state ballot, Roger Goodell doesn't want to offend you. If you're a Democrat, if you're a liberal, if you bleed blue, Roger Goodell doesn't want to offend you. The NFL, it's a business, has tried to have it both ways. You can't anymore. Right or wrong, I have my opinions. Right or wrong, you can't anymore. And Roger Goodell has moved. Think about this. Think about, again, trying to put politics aside. Doesn't matter if it's President Obama or President Bush or President Clinton or President Bush before him. President leans on you. You feel that. Politics aside. President Trump, very vocal, continues to be vocal, about his views on these issues. And I think it's, you know, politically inspired. Of course, he's a politician. And he leaned on Roger Goodell. And Goodell and the NFL owners, it's president. They got pushed. But Mahomes is so important to what they do. It's now important that you are on the side of Patrick Mahomes and not the president of the United States. That is because Mahomes is going to be, if he stays healthy, the most important athlete in American sports. And that's going to make him the or one of the most important athletes on the face of the earth. There's something about him. And the first time I met him, you could feel it. And everybody, I was at Radio Row in Minneapolis at the Mall of America, which, by the way, Minneapolis, I owe you an apology. The Mall of America was amazing, and I enjoyed Radio Row there. And the news came out. In fact, Therese Paylor broke it, who we're going to hear from in a few minutes. The news came out that Alex Smith had been traded to Washington after Kirk Cousins had decided he was going to go make, actually, I don't think he had the deal yet, but eventually that $67, $68 million three-year guaranteed deal with the Vikings. And Mahomes was now the quarterback of the moment, but we didn't really know what it was going to be. And at Radio Row, as you know, you listen to the Jim Rome Show, everybody's there. Every star is there. It's crazy. And it, the Mall of America was all condensed. It was this small little food court area. Mahomes stood out. He was, before he'd thrown a football, he'd played in a game. Before he'd been a starter, he was the guy that your eyes went to. The confidence, the swagger. Kirk Cousins, every other Hall of Famers, all these people that are there, celebrities, didn't matter. Deshaun Watson. Mahomes has just that thing. That I've met two people in my life, in my coverage as a reporter, again, politics aside, who just, you're like, wow, that person has an aura. One was Bill Clinton. The other, weirdly, was Prince Charles in England. I was around him once. Yeah, he was a goofball from 100 yards. But you get close, you're like, oh, that's what it's like when you think that God made you a king. Like, you have a lot of confidence. Mahomes has that thing. He is going to be the face of the National Football League and potentially the face of American sports. And I think it's going to coincide with the fact that I think the NBA's got an incredibly bright future, but they've really been defined mostly by one guy for stretches, right? For the most part. I mean, and I guess you could go AI, Jordan AI-ish, Kobe, LeBron, with some Steph mixed in there. Giannis, Luka Doncic, Zion, it's going to be shared. The NBA model the next 10 years, it's good for the NBA in terms of quality of play. It's going to be more like the NFL's been, where there's a lot of guys. There's going to be one guy who matters most in the National Football League, and that's part of the reason the Kansas City Chiefs gave him potentially $530 million, half a billion dollars. That's why the moment I first saw that NFL player-made video about what's going on in our country in the aftermath of yet another black man being killed while he was unarmed. These things have happened. There's been anger. LeBron James going back to Trayvon Martin on his shoes. The NBA has been very vocal politically. To see not just football player after football player after football player saying Black Lives Matter, but then to see Patrick Mahomes say it. A, I thought it was incredibly awesome on his part. But B, that's when it occurred to me, just politics aside, how important Mahomes is before he got the contract in the National Football League. He is the most exciting talent maybe that we've seen in NFL history. And I know we're only 2 years into the guy playing and 3 years into his career, but 50 touchdowns, MVP, Super Bowl, ridiculous comebacks. I mean, my God, left-handed completions. I mean, he's a freak of nature. And the things that he does, the way that he, again, bends the physics of how football games should work, in and of itself makes him almost unprecedented, maybe unprecedented. The way that he's changed the economics of the sport, a 12-year deal, and the way that I think he's going to influence how the National Football League interacts with American culture is going to be really interesting. And I love it because he is, and look, you don't know these guys. You'd never know these guys. And you certainly don't know what fame and wealth, and I'm sure the sycophants that surround you when you get to even a level approaching that, let alone where Mahomes is, how that impacts somebody. But people that have known him, my interactions around him, time I got to talk to him when he was just a kid out coming out of Texas Tech at a Super Bowl party years ago, incredibly good dude. His teammates love him. And if you could design in a laboratory, not just the perfect quarterback for this era of gunslingers and what Andy Reid wants to do, but a young man who's just likable and kind and charismatic, maybe the hardest thing in the world to be, that arrogant and that likable, that confident, and still that, humble is the wrong word, but decent. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the most important athlete in the world for the next 10 years if he can be healthy for this contract. He's going to win more Super Bowls. They're going to get, I mean, they put offensive weapons around him, but it's not like that defense is remarkably amazing. And the way you build winners, you try to draft quarterbacks who don't get paid a lot because your cap gets taken up, or you try to build young defenses. Look at what the Seattle did, and Pete Carroll's a different animal. But look at how he rebuilt his team, and they just kept on winning because they were able to get a bunch of young guys defensively. They've got the pieces offensively they need in Kansas City, which is to say anybody who can catch a football, run relatively quickly, and play with Patrick Mahomes. As they start to load that Chiefs defense up with young guys, if they can draft effectively in the fourth, fifth, sixth round over the next few years, that Chiefs team is going to be really tough to beat. the money, the excellence, the X factor. Patrick Mahomes is the next great thing in American sports, and that goes well beyond what he does on the field. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim Rome here on the show. RomeandHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter, JimRome.com. I'm on there, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Want to get some insight from a guy who knows the Chiefs better than anybody in the country, Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports national NFL writer and columnist, going to join me when we continue next here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program. It is amazing how many remarkably talented sports writers came out of the Kansas City Star. Jeff Passan, Wright Thompson, my friend Candace Buckner, who just got some new job at the Washington Post. It's a super secret. Just texted her, tried to get the info, can't get it. And maybe the most successful and impressive among them in a long list, I'm not mentioning everyone, of folks who have graduated from that newspaper to real success in this very difficult to succeed in business is Therese Paylor. Incredibly talented dude, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, does a great podcast there, product of Detroit via Kansas City, and a guy who called Patrick Mahomes a year out and really made me look a lot smarter than I should have been on radio and certainly in fantasy. Mr. Paylor joins me now. TP, what's up, buddy?
My friend Bill, how you doing?
I'm good, dude. How are you doing? Are you hanging in there in this bizarre time?
Hanging in there and staying safe, my friend. All is well.
Love it. Love it. Therese on Twitter at Therese Paylor. So every time you come on, I bring this up, man. You knew because of your sourcing and what you'd seen how special Mahomes was because the Chiefs knew even before he replaced Alex Smith. Now he's getting paid like it. What are your initial reactions to this massive extension in contract?
You know, honestly, it's a big deal for the city of Kansas City. You know, I take football history very seriously, Bill. I'm a Hall of Fame voter. That really matters to me. And I like to think of myself, in some ways as somebody, who really cares about the history of the game. So I lead all of that up to say this, you know, I think he's got a chance to go down as the GOAT. I think he's got a chance to surpass Brady, and I understand that that means he's going to have to win five more Super Bowls, you know. But when you win a Super Bowl as young as he has, Bill, I mean, he's 24 years old, it really frees you up to attack it the rest of the way. Now, sometimes it doesn't always work out. Like Aaron Rodgers wasn't as young as Patrick, but he won one fairly young, hasn't been able to build upon that, right? But when you win one this early and you're as talented as he's had as he is, and you know you're the Super Bowl MVP and you've won league MVP already, and you're just 24 in an era where the guys who really love the game play until they're 40, you know the sky's the limit. And for the Chiefs to be able to lock this guy in to a contract that wasn't, I mean, look, a guy like Mahomes, Bill, could have asked for the world. He could have asked for a historic contract that tied to a percentage of the cap that could have changed the game. And while the contract is historic because it's $500 million, it's still fair because the team can still build around that. Like, what are they going to do? What would they have done? Say no to, like, they would have done whatever it took to bring him back, and he didn't push for that because he wants to have a great team around him. He wants to build a dynasty in Kansas City. So I think in Kansas City, people here are obviously thrilled. I think Mahomes is thrilled because he just, you know, obviously it's a generational wealth for his family. And the Chiefs obviously are thrilled too. So it's kind of a rare win-win when it comes to these kind of deals. Typically one side, you know, typically both sides are lamenting a little bit of what they left off the table. But honestly, I don't get the sense that either side is feeling that way right now. It's just hope and optimism about the legendary things that could potentially come down the road.
This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in. And like with Patrick Mahomes, we are talking to a guy who, and I know what I'm saying, is the most talented NFL reporter in the country, and Terez Paylor over at Yahoo Sports. You bring up, TP, you bring up the Aaron Rodgers comparison, and I love it. And my friends in Green Bay, Wisconsin, would have and would argue pretty aggressively that Aaron Rodgers has not been supported the right way by that front office, you know, in both its incarnations since that Super Bowl. True or not true, it certainly helps when you get the right quarterback to put the right pieces around him. Now that we know that he's there for a very, very long time, what are the moves in the short term and maybe the moves in the long term that you think the Chiefs will and need to do in the draft or otherwise to keep the success going?
Well, in the short term, you know, they're going to be okay. The money over the next 3 years is about $63 million, which is the same as Teddy Bridgewater just got. So you can work on that. That's fine. You can work around that. You know, in the last 7 years or whatever the deal, the average is going to balloon up significantly. But, you know, I think because the money is so significant, what, maybe 5 or 6 years in, it's going to look like a relative bargain. Like, it really is. You know, this is going to raise the floor for what top-tier quarterbacks are going to get paid. And the Chiefs being able to put down a number for Mahomes and work from there is significant. So what will that look like? Well, the first thing is that they're going to lose some key players that helped them just win the Super Bowl. They're not going to be able to splurge in free agency. I do think they'll have some room to maneuver. I do. But they're not going to be able to splurge. I also think that more important than anything, and this is what's really critical, they have to nail the draft, and they have to develop their draft picks. It's the best asset in sports. Cheap, cost-controlled talent for at least 4 years. So their early-round draft picks, they've got to draft them, and they got to be day-one contributors. There's no room for these guys not to be good. They got to play, and they got to contribute, and they got to be good. And then the late-round guys, they need to really stockpile late-round picks because that's where their roster value is going to come from. They're going to have to draft talented players who can help on special teams and to be developed into starters. So, yes, the coaching staff has to develop them, and the front office has to find them. But if they find a way to do that, there's no reason to think that they can't build a championship roster for the next decade plus. Like, it's right there for them. And I'm pretty sure that everything the front office has shown us, that, you know, they're thinking ahead on these things. So don't be surprised if you start seeing them stockpile draft picks, because that's where their value is going to come through in the future.
Terez Paylor speaks the truth on the Jim Rome Show, and Raiders fans weep. Terez, what do you think this means for Dak Prescott and his situation, this contract for Mahomes?
Well, you know what's interesting about the Prescott situation is that, you know, if you're the Cowboys, you know, you guys are sparring over this fifth-year deal, you know, the fifth year. Everything you hear is that the money is, you know, they're in agreement on the money, but, you know, they want 5 years and Dak wants four. Well, Mahomes just signed a deal with an average annual value of $45 million. I think Dak Prescott has a right to ask for something. He's not going to approach that, but when Mahomes raises that figure, you can ask for more in line with that raise. Now, on the flip side of that, Dallas could say, Mahomes just signed for 10 years. You can't give us five, right? Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it's affected, but I don't think that it's going to help him on an AAV basis because, again, this is why it pays to pay these guys as soon as possible. Like, don't get into philosophical wars with these quarterbacks because sooner rather than later, it's going to end up looking like a bargain. Look at Carson Wentz and the Eagles. Like, they're paying him, you know, in the low 30s. That's a bargain right now. That's already a bargain, right? Like, Russell Wilson at 35 compared to Mahomes, yeah, that looks great. And now they're going to end up paying more. That's the one lesson I want people to take from this. When you have a quarterback that you like, or at least that he's good, if you don't believe in him, you got to move him. Otherwise, you better pay him, and you better pay him as soon as possible. Because the longer you wait, the more you're going to pay. And you see smart organizations like Philly, they didn't waste a lot of time with Wentz. You know, as soon as they could, here's low 30s, here you go. And they were done. And guess what? They're going to be great. They're going to be set with that. So I do think it'll affect the negotiations. To what extent, we don't know. But I do think Mahomes' contract gives both sides an opportunity to ask for certain things. At the end of the day, though, if the Cowboys really believe in Dak Prescott and they're not really interested in finding another quarterback to develop, they're going to have to pay him. And you can make a really good argument, Bill, that they should have already done that because the price only goes up.
Trez Paylor here on the show. Trez, how 12 years, right? And we'll see whether or not at some point they renegotiate. But 12 years is the length of this contract if you include the 10-year extension. How much longer do you think Andy Reid is going to be coaching in the NFL and with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I think that's really interesting. The Chiefs had a press conference today, and that topic is one that I took some notes on. Mahomes said that he spoke to Andy Reid before he signed the contract, and Andy said he hasn't even thought about retiring. And Andy, when asked directly about it, said he hasn't thought about it, and if it takes him into his 70s, let's roll. You know, I have no reason not to believe that. Andy is a lock for the Hall of Fame now. He's going to get in. And honestly, with Mahomes, a weapon like that, if he coaches until he's 70, who's to say he can't win three more by the time he turns 70 or more? Like, you don't know. It is so hard to just win one. I get that. He's 62 now. It's hard to win one. But, you know, he's got an opportunity to really kind of build his legacy as well. And for a man like Andy Reid, who we all know loves the game of football, I'd be surprised to see him retire with a weapon like Mahomes and with the type of player and person he is. You know, this has a chance to be the cherry on top of a sundae of an amazing career.
All right, Trez Paylor, let me end with this last question that I haven't looked at the fine print in Sports Talk Radio, but I think it's actually a required question for every guest. What what is your confidence level the NFL season will begin and finish more or less in the normal course of things this upcoming year?
I think they'll play a season. They need to fulfill those TV contracts to get paid. I think maybe more than any other league, there's more players who need the money. So I think guys would be willing to sign waivers at the end of the day. There's no shortage of football players. Like they'll be able to field teams. Now, I do think this will be the most unusual football season we've ever seen. It will be a war of attrition in many, many ways. The best team might not win this year. It might just be the last team standing in some ways. We just need to get used to that and get ready for that. That said, there's way too much money at stake. And, you know, back in our time at the Star, I think one of the things you told me is, you know, you never bet against money, right?
yeah.
Follow the money, never bet against money. Money's the root of most things, right? There's too much money at stake. Games are going to get played. What that's going to look like, what the quality of that's going to be, I can't promise you it's going to be good, but I can't imagine a scenario where the players who need the money aren't going to play and these owners who need the money to get the television contracts aren't going to play either. They would go against everything this league has been about, which is mainly greed. And that kind of hurts me to say because obviously I love the game of football, but I've been covering it too long. So when people keep asking me that, I know how it goes. I just know how it goes. Too many people need games to be played for games not to be played. I just don't know what it's going to look like.
Trez Paylor, from those conversations over cheap beer and great pizza at Caddyshack and a random stretch of Kansas City, Missouri to you killing it at Yahoo Sports and me somehow slipping past security at the Jim Rome Show and slipping into this chair.
Stop.
Life is crazy, buddy. I'm so happy for all your success. You deserve it. And as always, man, really appreciate you making some time.
No, anything for you, man. Glad you're doing well.
See you, buddy. Talk soon.
All right.
TP, I'm not just saying, the guy is such a reporter, he's so connected. If you don't know him, if you don't follow him, at Trez Paylor. And I love all the guests we have on. I try to have on guys that I respect. He's the best of the best across all the sports that we talk about here on the show. Trez is a really, really talented dude. All right, I know I keep saying I'm going to get to these calls. I'm actually going to do it. 1-800-636-8686. Bill Rutter filling in for Jim Rome. We'll take your calls to close out the show just after we get this CBS Sports Radio update. Welcome back into the show here in Southern California. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. Rome at HaveItTake.com. At Jim Rome, JimRome.com. I'm on Twitter at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Thank you to Garrett Ritt, Alvin DeLauro. Thank you to Tom DiBenedetto back in New York helping, to Tom DeCelestino, D-Cell in the control room in New York, who sent me a nice text yesterday, said you did a 32% good job. So that's the highest rating D-Cell's. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate the love. Man, Tom, you can't tell. He's a talker. Just jabber, 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 jabber all the time during the breaks. Let's take some phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Dino in Ohio, thanks for waiting, brother. Thanks for listening. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, about Kansas City, shouldn't they be changing their name and their logo? And because that seems to be as offensive as the Redskins and the Indians and also the Braves. And also, shame on Patrick Mahomes for signing that contract and not standing up and pointing that out before he took that contract. I'll wait for your reply. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much, Dino, for the call. Appreciate the Chiefs thing, I think, is different. Look, again, I would defer to people who are actually Native American, but my perspective and my understanding of it, and really my perspective, is to be a chief was to be a leader. It was an honorific. It was a position of influence. I think it is vastly different than Redskins. And the Braves is to say, I think, to be brave. I mean, there's an interpretation there. Redskins is simply it's a put down. It just is. Like, it is a, my buddy Cole Wright, who did work here in LA NFL Network and now is part of the Cubs new network, had a tweet yesterday I thought was great, which is, if you really think Redskins is appropriate, his suggestion, Cole's suggestion, is drive to a reservation somewhere in South Dakota, go into a establishment, have a few drinks, and then start using that term with the folks that are around you. Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. I think Chiefs is different, but I appreciate the call and the perspective. Thank you very much. Let's go to Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A., you're on the Jim Rome Show.
Bill, Sports Writer, the West Sider Writer. What is up, my man?
Oh, my gosh. Just living the dream, buddy. How are you? Welcome back.
Oh, right here, man. I had to take up on your behalf and my behalf as a jungle elder came in yesterday, and I hate to go all trapper on this guy, but I'm Matt in L.A., and you're not, Gino, so stop hating, man. I've never understood these cats that call in to chastise a guest host or say, oh, you're not being entertaining or you're not bringing enough sports stuff, as they give you an unentertaining non-sports take. But I digress, Billy. Out here in sunny Hermosa Beach, one of your old haunts, I had some thoughts on the whole MLB thing. I don't want anybody crying, you know. I respect, and I'm not talking about ball players, I'm talking about fans. I respect all the ball players that are going to stay home, because this thing, man, we've seen nothing like it. America went through something similar in 1918, but other than that, I mean, this is uncharted territory. So all I want to say is, when my Dodgers bring home the ring finally, I don't want none of the haters saying nothing, man. This is legit as one Patrick Mahomes. War, it's really Eisenhower on presidential one to this day. Secret Service agents taking shots of bourbon. But champion. Outro.
Matt in L.A., thanks, buddy. I appreciate the defense. I don't mind. You want to call in, you know, Gino in San Antonio. Appreciate you listening. I get it. And to be fair, I do have sort of a high voice. It does go a little high. So, you know, when I get excited, I'm excited. Be on the Jim Rome Show. But I love the call. I'll tell you what, man. This is why I love Dodgers fans. They're just good people. I'm a Cubs fan. Cubs play the Dodgers. I root for the Cubs, including the NLCS a few years ago where my Cubbies got it over on them to get to Cleveland and beat them. But that aside, go Dodgers. I like the people. I like the organization. I'm a fan, and I'm rooting for all Dodgers fans to get exactly what Matt in L.A. is hoping they're going to get. Brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. You know, speaking of the Dodgers, and again, 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. This is a really interesting, unique time, obviously for a lot of reasons. We have never had, I hope we never will again, an NBA season that coincides exactly with an MLB season. And I was just thinking about, just from a radio perspective, how the Dodgers and the Lakers are going to compete against each other on the air here. And that's going to happen in New York, right? For those folks who want to watch the Nets and the Yankees, though there'll be no competition. That in LA, in this very bizarre time, and I'm with you, Matt, there are no asterisks. And if the Dallas Mavericks win an NBA championship this year, they're NBA champions. If some random MLB team wins a championship this year, they are the last team standing, and there are some doors that open. I think there will be because teams have to opt out, or players that are wildly significant have to opt out because they test positive with COVID-19. They're still champions. And in that bizarre and unpredictable landscape, there are two windows that are closing really quickly here in L.A. This is a really critical year from a historical perspective. For LeBron, there's the reality that he is and this notion, I've heard people say it, LeBron's going to prove he's a Lakers legend. No, stop it. Be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Stop. He's trying to prove that he's better than Jordan. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. It certainly helps his case if he wins a third championship with a third team and is the only player. Him and Kawhi, by the way, could both become this. The only players in NBA history to be finals MVPs with three different teams. But LeBron's window, I think, is going to close, right? I'm not entirely sure. I think he won't be great at basketball when he's 50. I think age is going to impact him. I think he's a mere mortal. And if that's the case, this is a really critical year. A big part of the reason there's going to be an NBA season is because LeBron James isn't 25 years old. If LeBron was 25 years old, he might have opted out. And if LeBron doesn't play in the bubble, I don't think the bubble happens. The league goes as its most important player goes. That's always been true. More true now that Silver has a great relationship with the stars, and that Silver-LeBron relationship is really a stand-in for the owners-players association relationship. It's critical. LeBron wants to play because the days are ticking down when he's not going to be able to compete for championships. And at the same time that he tries to chase one more and tries to, he's already wrapped himself in the purple and gold, but do it as a champion, Clayton Kershaw is approaching the end, man, of his opportunity to be a World Series champion. The Dodgers can't keep making it and not winning and expect to get back year after year after year. Kershaw's ability, and Clayton Kershaw is such an interesting factor to me, because Scherzer's a better pitcher now, Cole's a better pitcher now. You can make a case, and he's also a veteran, you can make a case, and I probably would, that Justin Verlander's a better, more effective pitcher now. Think about that. Verlander was washed up's a little strong. Verlander was like a 5 or 6 inning, 4.5 ERA guy in Detroit. He was a legend who would get you some quote unquote quality starts and reinvented himself in Houston. Now we know how, right? I probably shouldn't disparage the pitching staff in that equation since the accusations that have been proven are on the hitting side. But regardless, it's hard to give the Astros any credit, even their pitching staff, fair or not fair. My point is Clayton Kershaw is not the guy that he used to be. If Kershaw ends his career without a World Series victory, it's one of the biggest disappointments that we've seen in sports. And yes, I say that. I understand. I acknowledge. I get that in baseball, you can't always win if you're great. I'm a Cubs fan. I watched Andre Dawson and Ryan Sandberg never make a World Series. The difference for Kershaw is that he made World Series, and he should have made some where he didn't pitch well. I can remember as a Cubs fan in the NLCS being like, good, we got Kershaw coming up. Because, and again, Dodger fans, I love you. Kershaw has not been the guy. It's just numbers. It's just facts. It is going to be a condensed, pressure-filled, pandemic-influence run to titles here in L.A. for two superstars who need them for vastly different reasons. LeBron's trying to chase down Jordan, whether he does or not. Another topic, another day. But that's where he's at. That's a level of greatness. He's one or two. He's two or one. That's where he is. You like Kareem? Okay, maybe he's three. But he's there. Clayton Kershaw is trying to live up to that massive talent, and he's not one of these ball players, right? He's not Zach Greinke if Greinke had stayed with the Kansas City Royals. I guess he would have got one. It's a bad example. He's not one of these dudes that just never played for the right team. Some guy that got stuck on some small market that didn't have the resources. Clayton Kershaw plays. The Dodgers, for most of those years, the last few years, have had the highest payroll in baseball. Now they've been cutting it down. Critical run for both LA teams for really different reasons. And I guess because I'm being a little LA-centric, I'll throw in the Clippers. Man, the Mahomes thing is, I love it on so many levels. A big part of the reason Mahomes is the guy that he is and has the success that he has, and we hit this earlier in the show, Bill Ryder phoning for Jim Rome, is because of the culture of the Kansas City Chiefs. No better example than how culture saves you than the Clippers. Think about when Ballmer came in. The Knicks were still a mess. The Knicks are still a mess because Dolan's a mess. Who your owner is makes a huge difference. I mean, hell, I think Jeannie Buss, one of the best owners in sports. Jim Buss, your brother? Let's be kind, right? Seattle, I'm not back till Friday. Let's be kind. He wasn't. That's the nicest way I can say it. I'm not going to say he's an absolute bum of an owner who ran them into the ground and didn't deserve to wear Lakers colors, let alone run the organization. I'll just say he wasn't very good at his job. All right, this was fun. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you. Brian Weber, do a great job the next couple days filling in for Jim. I'm back Friday, back a few days next week. My name is Bill Ryder. It is an honor and a pleasure filling in on the Jim Rome Show. Have a great day. Appreciate you.